The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We examine the incredible actions of Jesus that prove his love. What? Looking into the mirror, things that are near are not as they appear, and civil rights are civil, but from whose point of view?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Just to start off with, I want to make sure that we give acknowledgement to our good friend Clint and the family at Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in and around the Dallas area, the Denton area, the Grapevine area, the Fort Worth area, all over the state of Texas. Let's keep it simple. Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. That's pretty easy to remember. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated on the BBB. 50 years of restoration experience and thousands of happy customers. You got anything going on at your place? If you are a property owner, a real estate agent, or in your home something went wrong and the washing machine decided, I'm going to give you all the water I can give you right this second, and it goes all over your house, get in touch with Mr. Restore. They will help you out. MrRestore.com. That is the website. MrRestore.com. Don't forget their connection to the Adaptive Training Foundation, where they help people that don't have limbs. Yikes. That don't have limbs. I mean, one limb, two, three, four. I mean, the whole thing. They help them get a hope, a strength, a vision, and a purpose and a power in life. That is a totally awesome ministry. Both things, Mr. Restore and the Adaptive Training Foundation, are linked on our website. We encourage you to check it out. Do not hesitate. Okay. Check in with Wonder Julie. Typically the week Tuesday before Thanksgiving is a softer week for many people who work, and they usually have a couple days off. That's normally the case. Are you kind of just getting ready to kind of chill and relax?
In order to take off, I have to have all my work done before I can take off, and that means for next week too.
Oh, my goodness. So you have to have 2, 3, 4 days in advance of work done?
Yes. All right. Of course, I'm on the air in Denver too, so it's not just here, it's there.
All right, everybody stop complaining about how much work you have to do.
Right.
She's laughing. That
and
tells
I got to make a cheesecake later.
Okay. Well, speaking of cheesecake, guess what holiday it is? Close, but not exactly. Guess what holiday it is? You're going to be close.
Some national cake?
That's correct. National Cake Day. Look at you. You're just doing so good. National Cake Day, for those that are into cake, I think it's a fantastic holiday. I think it should be every day should be National Cake Day. That's just my theory. Maybe it doesn't work that well around my stomach, but that's my theory nonetheless. I also want to acknowledge that on this day in 2011, here I'm going to throw you a curveball, the Curiosity Rover and the Mars Science Laboratory, they were launched on this day in 2011. And you're thinking, why would Dave bring that up? Would you like to ask me why?
Why did you bring that up, Dave?
Because my brother-in-law is one of the people that wrote the code for the Mars rover. So when they say, well, is he a rocket scientist? Yes, exactly. He works for JPL. He's a rocket scientist. And I've asked him a couple of technical questions. Now, we don't see everything eye to eye, as you could imagine. He's wrong and I'm right. That's one thing that has nothing to do with the other. But that's because he's younger, so I don't say much about it. Here is the one thing that we do understand. So people will say that money makes the world go round and round. So because I have a brother-in-law that works at JPL and he works with NASA, I talked to him about the rotation of the Earth being 23 degrees on axis. And then that's drawn by the power of the sun and the placement of the moon. And he said, yeah, he goes, it's that or three blind mice that keep running around in a little metal wheel. One of the two. That's pretty insightful, isn't it? Three mice that run around in a wheel. Yeah, that's what keeps everything spinning. Everybody laugh. Take a deep breath. Not everything's working great for me either. Just relax. All right, let's get into our first teach. It's a massively cool teaching. Got this in my devotions today. I hope you get something out of this. It is a wonderful. Comes out of the Gospel of John chapter 18 when Jesus was meeting with his disciples in the grove of the olive trees, and that Judas came. Remember when Judas came and they came to arrest him? Let me pick it up in verse 3. Actually, verse 2, Judas the betrayer knew the place where Jesus had gone because he had gone there many times with his disciples. The leading priests and the Pharisees had given Judas a battalion of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches and lanterns and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. So for people that don't understand how powerful the religious leaders were of the day, the Romans had given them authority over a battalion that they can direct it wherever they wanted to. That's why when people say, well, no, it's just the Jewish leaders that did this. Well, it was everybody that did this. But the Romans were at the direction of the priests who were the leading priests, and they were all bringing it together so they could bring Jesus to Pilate. But watch this. Watch this. This is John 18, verse 4. You can check it out in any translation. It's so cool. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him. And stepping forward to meet them, he asked, "For who are you looking for? Whom are you looking for?" Now, here's what I want you to catch about the love that Jesus Christ has for you and I. He had 12 disciples, and they were hanging out with Jesus for quite some time. He knew that Judas would betray him, but he still let him in to the circle of disciples of the 12, just in case you're trying to figure out. Some people say, well, Judas never believed, or whatever the case may be. You do find out in the next verse that Judas was standing with the soldiers and against Jesus. I mean, he really did take a stand against the Lord when he stood with the soldiers, but Jesus gave him everything he gave everybody else. He gave him his heart. He instructed. He taught. He poured into him, even knowing that he was going to be betrayed. But I want you to look at verse 4. Go to your Bibles. Read John 18, 4. When Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, then Jesus, he realized everything was going to happen. He stepped forward. Do you know that it is at this moment that Jesus knowing what was going to happen to him, knowing that he was going to get crucified, knowing he was going to get betrayed, knowing they were going to lie about him, knowing he was going to take a beating, knowing he was going to die. And I was talking to Johnny Hill about this. Jesus, I mean, the age is important. When you're 33, you still feel invincible. You feel like there's nothing that you can, you know, that you can't conquer. And he's already in the position where he knows he's going to get killed and fulfill this mission. And instead of stepping back, instead of going to the side, instead of running, he stepped forward because he loves us. That's why. He knew he was going to get it. He knew it was going to be bad. He told his disciples. He told his disciples on numerous occasions, hey, this is going to get ugly. This is going to get bad. They're going to crucify me. And here he is. The soldiers meet with him. Judas leads the soldiers out. The betrayal is at hand. He realized it's all going down right now, and he stepped forward. Did you get that? He didn't step away. He demonstrated his love by laying down his life for us. He sacrificed for us, and he didn't do it like thoughtlessly. He wasn't a victim of the death penalty like some ridiculous people have spoken. He willingly sacrificed his life as the Lamb of God. And at the moment where they were capturing, if you don't think that in the most intense moments there's temptations and opportunities, Jesus was even tempted by the enemy, even at the cross, just in case you didn't know that, when they tried to give him things to drink that he wasn't supposed to drink, and he could have called angels down at any point and said it's too much or whatever the case may be, but he went all the way to the point where he yielded up his spirit. He gave it all to us, for us, because of us. Listen to this. He faces what he knows is going to happen, and he steps forward. In some translations, it says he meets them. He goes out to meet them. He's moving into this. When King David fought Goliath, you know what King David didn't do? He didn't hide behind a rock. He ran right for the giant. And Jesus, facing certain death and absolute agony and absolute, I mean, look at, in Isaiah, it's prophesied how much pain he's going to go through. It's horrible. And he went forward because he loves us. Try to figure out, what does he love me? Dude, if you knew you were going to die, absolutely go through the ringer, and you step forward and sacrifice your life, that's love. That is love. The sacrifice of all for the sake of others. Think of that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I will also tell you, even though it's hard to do this, on the website, davidspoonmedia.com, there is a new gift button. And that's because we need to be able to pay for the show. So if the show has been a blessing for you and you feel that the Holy Spirit's leading you to do it, don't do it any other way. No guilt, no anything in any capacity. But if you feel like, you know what, I like it, I want you to keep going, then we need a little bit of help because we're running up against a few walls, and I hope the show's been a blessing for you. And if it has, perhaps you can bless us in a financial gift. That is entirely up to you. No guilt, no anything. If you can do it, great. If not, no worries. That's the end of that. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. I don't know. We're trying to do the live casting, and I've been talking to Don, who owns the station, or we've been emailing, and sometimes the Wi-Fi works, and sometimes it doesn't, so it's like up, down, all around, which is why I did the app for those that are trying to figure it out. Let's go into a trivia question before we get into our next teaching. This is a challenging question. How about that? Challenging question. Now, if you had a chance to call in the last couple of days or the last week or so, let's give some other people a chance to call in, because I want people to engage on every different level. What kind of wood was the ark made from? What kind of wood was the ark made from? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. A lot of things going on. By the way, keep my daughter in prayer. So I am going to find out in the next hour whether or not they're getting out of the hospital today. They've been in the hospital for like 11 days, 12 days. Ugh. So I have my little grandson, my youngest grandson. He's been in there, and I saw him yesterday. We duoed yesterday. He looks great. You know, you just can't tell what's going on. So just please keep him in prayer. We would greatly appreciate that. And I'm going to have to go up and see them in Tennessee pretty soon, because they're going to need a break. Imagine being a young parent, then you got three kids and they're under four. And
that's
then
brutal.
For 11 days. Like, yowza. But my daughter is doing fantastic. I'm very proud of her, I got to say. As a dad and as a grandpa, you know, sometimes when the medal comes, the real trying of somebody's faith and a trying of their life and their character comes forward, and they do well, it's a blessing, I think. I think the Lord does that so that she can know how good she's doing, but it's a side benefit for somebody like myself. Okay, again, gopher wood. Oh, my gosh. I just gave the answer. I can't believe I did that. You guys have to love me anyway. You know you're required to. I'm a brother in the Lord, and if you hate me, I'm your enemy. You still have to love me. I blew it. I gave you the answer. Okay, we'll have to do another one. The answer I said was by accident. I blurted out, what kind of wood was the ark made from? Gopher wood. And it wasn't because it was gopher this and gopher that. It was gopher wood. Okay, my bad. All right, let's ask another quick question. What are the final words of Jesus recorded in the New Testament? You know it's going to be in the book of Revelation. What are the final words of Jesus? Not the final word, the final words of Jesus in the New Testament. Don't Google it. Look it up. Definitely more challenging, but that's okay because you guys are smart enough to do it. 972-445-0770. Let's get into this next little bit of teaching that I want to get into. And this actually has no title, but it is a DDD. Genesis chapter 37. Verses 23 and 24, it says this. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic, the variety colored tunic that was on him, and they took him and they threw him into the pit. And now the pit was empty and without any water in it. All right, I got somebody calling in to answer the question. Give people the opportunity to answer it, and then we'll go back to the text. Hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Sheree Anderson.
Hi, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm looking forward to hearing my grandson's going to get out of the hospital. But besides that one element, everything else is fantastic.
And I am praying for him and your family.
I appreciate that very, very much. That's a blessing to know that people are in prayer. Okay, you ready for this one? This is a toughie. I thought it was tough, but I hope
I get it right. I'm driving down the road. I mean, I'm not getting any help.
Well, what I know for sure is you didn't look it up.
True that.
True that. That's awesome. What are the final words of Jesus recorded in the New Testament?
I think that it is, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world.
That is close. That's close, but he made reference to his return, and he said it wasn't going to take long. What did that mean? He's going to come. He's going to come, and it's not going to take him a long time. He's going to come.
I will come soon.
That's right. There it is. So, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, is what's in the end of Matthew. And that's when he makes that promise, when he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, which is really important because people forget that the Lord is with them and they think that he goes to Pluto and Summers or something over there. And that's, of course, that's not true. But in the very end of the New Testament, very last thing Jesus says, lo, I am coming quickly. I am coming soon. And people don't realize that soon is soon. And it could be, people think, what's going to happen in the next so many years, the next digit. It can happen at any moment for anybody. That's the first thing. And then the other thing is, corporately, it's a lot closer now than it was yesterday. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Good job, though. We got you there. And that was the key. So you did a good job. Very brave calling in, not knowing and just going for it. I think that shows a lot of courage. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Lord bless you.
Lord bless you too. Thanks for the prayers too. Keep them up.
You got it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Great job. You got to get there. Sometimes it takes a little while because you see some of the cool sayings are at the end of the not cool sayings, but you know, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a cool, powerful text. And that was she's on track, but I'm coming quickly. Okay. Come, Lord Jesus, come, as the last thing John says, and then amen. All right, so I want to go to this. So here's Joseph. I want to talk about this thing with Joseph, because if you ever got a car, if you ever bought a car in the last 20 years, they put this saying on the car. Have you noticed they have this saying on the car? The saying on the car is, things that appear, or things in the mirror, are closer than they appear. Ever seen that thing? Well, I got a message for you. Things that are near are not nearly what they appear. And so let me go back to that text with Joseph. So it came out when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him in the pit, and the pit was empty without any water in it. And my first question to you is, what do you think Joseph thought? I mean, the dude just had these dreams. He shares with his brothers and his parents the dreams. They don't like him, right? And so he shares it with them, and what happens? They're so mad at him when he goes to see what they're doing, to check up on them. We kind of, I don't know if you'd call it tattletale, but boy, it ain't far, right? So they grab him and they throw him in the pit. And from Joseph's point of view, especially with his dream and all that God's done in communicating things were coming, this doesn't make any sense. That's the key I want you to hear. Doesn't make any sense that Joseph would be thrown into the pit. From his perspective, this doesn't even follow the sequence of the dream. There's no way to connect these dots unless you're God. They make no sense apart from God. Now, I want you to remember that, because the very next thing that happens is the kids come back and they take it to Jacob so he can see it. So they took Joseph's tunic, this is verse 31, and slaughtered a male goat, dipped the tunic in blood. They sent the tunic back to their father and said, "We found this, please examine to see whether it's your son's tunic or not." So the whole thing's a scam. Then he examined it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph's surely been torn to pieces." So Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. What do you think Jacob thought? He was probably thinking, this isn't good. My son's dead. And sometimes things that are near are not as they appear. Joseph didn't get what was going on, and neither did Jacob. How strong are these people in the kingdom of God? Incredible. Incredibly strong. But their circumstance was not making sense apart from God. See, it doesn't make sense in the natural. Well, my brothers, they don't like me. I had a dream. They're selling me. They're getting rid of me. The father, my son died. How is this fulfilling any promises? I'm very upset. And none of it makes sense. Right. Apart from God, it doesn't make sense. But sometimes things that are near are not as they appear. And so what you think it is, or what you determine it is, or what you evaluate it is not. And certainly, if anybody who was against Jesus knew that by going through the crucifixion process, it would lead to him stepping into glory, they all might have went, "What? No, let's not do that. That's bad." They might have been more hesitant to do that, because the ultimate end of that was outstanding glory. You see, it doesn't make sense when it's up close apart from God knowing what's going on and weaving it together. So you don't have to know it all, but you do have to trust him who does it all. Not easy, right? That's not easy. I don't think it's easy. I think there's moments where I look up to God and I go, "What?" But it's not as it appears. And it makes no sense apart from God. Okay, we can take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that, and it was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just to let you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit.
It was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, plus website davidspoonmedia.com. I like that interview with Pastor Morris. I think that if you were into theology and you got the Baptist-costal, Calminian, manifold millennialist comment, you would recognize that covers probably about 98% of the church. Everybody's theology is somewhere in there, right there. Love that stuff. Just fascinating stuff. And that was a lot of fun on that interview. We're going to do another trivia question. Great job on the last trivia question. And now, again, people think, well, wait a minute, because she was quoting Matthew, the end of Matthew, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth," which, by the way, is also referenced in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it is, where it talks about the Lord being with us. And if it's not 13, it's 12. No, it's 13. It's 12. It's 13. One of the two. Anyhow, the idea is to grasp that all of these things, these are truths that help us, that equip us, that strengthen us. And knowing where they are is really not quite as important as knowing them. But what I like doing when I'm talking about the trivia, and you guys will answer the question, is to bring those kind of thoughts, those kind of mentalities up so that we can know, or bring whatever the situation up is so that we can keep the brain and keep the heart, keep the mind engaged in meditating in the Word. And meditation has a lot of elements to it. But one of the great ones is to rattle it around in your mind. And it's like, yeah, that's what we want to try and do on a lot of things. It's really quite important for us to do that. Okay, here's the next trivia question. What is the name of the place where Jacob slept and dreamed of Jacob's ladder? What was the place? I have this on here twice. I wonder why I have it on here twice. What was the place that he had that? Okay. What was the place? What's our number? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Just by calling in, it's brave. But don't do anything that, you know, puts you in any kind of danger. We don't want any of that stuff. All right. I'm going to share with you something that I came across that I did not discover this on my own. This is not new for everybody. It's more fresh for me than for most. But when I saw it and kind of saw how it was explained, I was like, that is so cool. So I decided I've got to share this. This is one of those things that gets in your brain and whatever the case may be. And I want to talk about the Holy Spirit being God. And I want you to understand, before those freak out, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay, where you've got three, what people will say is three essences, one entity, and then another group will say three in one, and the four-leaf clover is some kind of, you know, illustration, and it's like, yeah, whatever. Here's one of the things that I like when I think about the Trinity is I think, well, David has a body, David has a heart, and David has a mind. Well, I don't have a great heart, but I have a heart. David has a body, a heart, and a mind, but they call me David. And they all work together. And if you take one of those parts out, nothing's working and it's over. I like that illustration. Makes me feel good. Some people are like, oh, I like, you know, I like water. It can be steam. It can be ice. It can be water. You know, there's all these different flavors. That's great. That's cool. Here's the bottom line. 2 Corinthians 13:14 talks about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You can dodge it, but it's there. And then Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16, and in 17, talks about the Holy Spirit being our counselor, our comforter, our guider, our helper in all these ways. And the only question I ask people that they get mad about it is, how's your counseling session going? Don't get mad at me. Jesus is the one who said. Now, there's arguments as to when the Spirit, you know, is in somebody or when they're on somebody. Nah, I don't care about that. How's your counseling sessions going? How about when the Holy Spirit leads and guides you? You know he does. So come on. And then to that effect, let's look at Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Galatia, and they having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, they went and came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. There are three references right in this text in Acts 16 6:16, 6 through 10. All three are the Holy Spirit, and I want you to see all three titles. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit in verse 6. Excuse me. In verse 7, he's called the Spirit of Jesus, and in verse 10, he's called God. Okay? From a divinity point of view, there is no escaping that the reference in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 10 are all to the same being. No questions. And in fact, this particular text has a unique set of commentaries to it. So I did some extra searching. And here is one of the best comments that came out. The heightening of terminology in verses 6 through 10 from the Holy Spirit to the Spirit of Jesus to God is not just stylistic, but an unconscious expression of the early church's embryonic Trinitarian faith. All three terms refer to God by his Spirit giving direction to the mission. Why? Because the Holy Spirit leads us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And these are people that are on a missionary journey. And it's amazing because you rarely hear somebody go, the Holy Spirit told me no. In fact, I think I've only heard that maybe a handful of times in 41 years. And here, Paul, the Holy Spirit said no to going over here. And then the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit, said no to going over here. Then Paul has a vision. And in the vision, a guy from Macedonia says, come on over here, come on over here. And then Paul goes, well, I think God's telling us to go over there. Okay, I'm not going to make the comment that I made to my wife that this is not exactly the height of sleuth. This is not Sherlock Holmes going, I have deducted that we should go over there. I mean, the guy was told no once. He was told no twice. Then he has a vision. Some people say a dream, but he has a vision that says, come over here. And he goes, we have concluded that we should go over there. Really? No kidding. Good conclusion. The idea is to grasp that when it goes Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, and God, this is the same entity in all three cases. No, no, and yes, go this way. And instead of trying to be a person, well, no, I just let my circumstance guide me. Well, then certainly you don't live by faith, because if your circumstance is your total guide, then there is no faith. And if your finances are your toe, I hate to say this. Oh, I hate to say it because every time I say something like this, I have to live it out just that much more. But if your finances are your determination, then that's the only thing you go by, then there is no faith. Faith is believing for what you can't see. Faith is believing that when you take that next step, God will be there and put the path underneath your foot. Is that easy? No. Is it always fun? I don't think so. But it's believing in God enough to say, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to walk by what I see in God, not by what I see in the world. And if you're a person that thinks, well, I don't know if I can do that, I would encourage you just to try it once in one area, one time, so that you can know what it is to get out of the boat, like Peter did. And in this case, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, no, yeah, go over here. So the Holy Spirit's active in leading the early church, right? This is Acts 16. The Holy Spirit's already fallen in Jerusalem, already fallen for the church to be established. The Holy Spirit's already fallen on the Gentiles. So the Holy Spirit's just active in the church. Well, he's not as active today because most people ignore him. But the idea is that the Holy Spirit is leading these people with positive and negative directions. And they recognize we're being called by God. And in fact, it was the Holy Spirit that was directing them. And in fact, it was the Spirit of Jesus. Isn't that funny how it says Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, and God, how the Trinity is right there involved in all three descriptions? I just think that's theologically fascinating from a Trinitarian, theologically proper point of view. It's just unbelievable. But instead of being more Pentecostal or being more Baptist, be a little of both, right? The Lord has directed you, the Father has directed you by the Son through the Spirit 1,000 times. You just don't call it that. And passages like, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, that counts. Okay? That is important. To be led by the Spirit of God is crucial. In fact, Jesus demonstrated that the things that he did were all the things the Father wanted him to do, the things that he said, the things that he did, but they were all directed to him by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that led him out to the wilderness, right? And that doesn't mean because the Holy Spirit leads you that every path you take is going to have roses that smell good and there's going to be In-N-Out burgers and French fries and no waiting. That's not what it says. There are times where the Lord leads you down a path and there are trials ahead. Okay. But you do them with the Lord. You go with God, step by step, inch by inch, place by place. And I get a little tired of people like, well, you know, I'm just going to use this as my guidepost, or I'm going to use, I'm just going to use that inner spidey sense. Hey, I think God does use the inner spidey sense. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. But the Lord uses the Holy Spirit to say no, yes, in your life. Just identify and be honest. You don't have to be a charismatic to say the Holy Spirit led you. I just wanted to say that, get that out of my system. Okay. All right, we're going to take our break and come back, and then I'm going to talk to you about the secular wars against Christ and his followers. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait. There's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon Media at gmail.com. You can believe for one second, I actually forgot my own email. Wow. And website, davidspoonmedia.com is the website. The question on the table for those who dare, I guess that's a challenging way to say it, is what is the name of the place where Jacob slept and dreamed of Jacob's ladder? What's the name of the place that this happened? Obviously, the answer is in Genesis. Try to stay away from Google. Try to go after it. You can do it. I have confidence in you. Let's see. We did find out that Darlene did get in touch with Tiffany, so we hope everything is going great there, and they were able to coordinate all their stuff together. And what I would tell you, everybody in the future, is if you end up where you're going to try and get tickets and from a basketball game or something that has a time stamp on it, and there's any kind of mailing time possibilities, then I would coordinate with Tiffany to come and get them in person. That's just me. But you never know what will take place. See, this. I haven't heard from my daughter yet. I haven't heard from my wife yet. I hope she's having a great day. She's the best. I got the best wife. There's just no question. Let's talk about this. I actually taught this February 14th, 2014. So if my calculations are remotely correct, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So this is 5 years and 8 months ago, roughly, that I brought this up, and I'm going to bring it up again. I'm not doing this to get people mad. I'm not doing this to get you fired up politically one way or another. I am telling you this because you are Christians. And as Christians, you're going to have to know what's going on and what's coming. Okay, do we have it? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Doing, what's going on, brother?
Praying for your family, bud. Praying for your family. Hoping that the Lord will open the door of healing and sanctification, peace, joy, and happiness, and somehow and all the adversity we go through. We got to look at that as part of our reward from being faithful.
That's right. That's right. So I'm praying for you every day, man. So I want you to,
thank you.
I want to make sure you're doing well and just keeping it together and going forward. Because the Lord loves you. The Lord, you know you're special, and He's for you. So just keep that in mind. All right. So here's the big thing. What's the name of the place where Jacob slept and dreamed of Jacob's ladder?
Well, this is probably time of death, but I must say Bethel.
That is correct, sir.
Wow.
That is correct. So a lot of people think that when he went to sleep, he had like cushions and stuff like that. It's like, that's not how that was. Dude's sleeping with like a rock as a pillow. And then he has the dream where the angels go up and down on the ladder. And then what's cool about that is the prophetic connection to that and to Jesus making reference to that about the angels coming up and down on the ladder in the beginning of the gospel. So it's like a very, wow, that's just kind of a cool element. So great job. I love it, Jerry, because I know when you call in, I think there's only once you were wrong that I could even think of. So great job again, my friend. Excellent work.
Okay. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you again, and talk to you in the spirit, and we love you, and I'll see you face-to-face one day.
Yeah. All right, brother. Love you in the Lord, man. You're my friend. I appreciate you. All right, let's go back to this. So this thing I'm going to share, good job by Jerry, brother. This thing I'm going to share is something that I wrote 5 years, 8 months, and 2 weeks ago, somewhere about thereabouts. This is what I wrote. Now, is this prophetic? No, I don't think it would qualify under prophetic. I think it qualifies under really good observation. But there's prophetic in it in the sense that it's, talking about the future. For those that don't know, really, to prophesy is to speak unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That means that it can be foretelling, which is predicting the future, or forthtelling, which is sharing the heart of God. And yes, we're going to be doing a whole... how does all that stuff worky teaching on it? And it's very in-depth teaching. I'm just warning you ahead of time so you don't, start running for the hills. In this case, though, this is more for you and I to be aware that we need to stand firm in our faith regardless of how the eschaton comes about until it happens, until the trumpet blows, until you're gone. You need to be strengthened in the Lord and not moved by the various things that you and I see, which there's a lot of those. So here's what I did for the first time I was doing a broadcast. This is like my second year in San Diego. This is what I wrote. The coming wars from the secular progressive, New Agers, and atheists, all in the phony disguise of civil rights. Did you catch that right there? It's not that civil rights are bad. They're fantastic. And our country has a ton of them. That's fantastic. But that can be tweaked. Like any definition or any concept of any word, it can change. And the war from the secular progressives, the New Agers, and the atheists is changing what true civil rights are all about. What are the top 10 coming wars? This is written, think about these as I read them and think about this 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago. Number one, global warming. Yeah, got that right. Global warming. So you had people, and I'm going to say this very carefully, you had people go during the Harvard-Yale game, and they went in the middle of the field. I don't know if you heard about this one or Julie or not, but they went in the middle of the field during the game and delayed the game for an hour. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. If you did that in hockey, everybody would come out of the stands, take the sticks from the players, and beat you until they had to use the Zamboni to get you off. Because that's what – he's like, no way. Only in Harvard and Yale football game, which is one person said, it's not really a football game. It's like, it's just kind of hard to argue with that. But only there would you find that. So anyway, global warming. That's a war that we're all into. That's all around us, right? Same-sex marriage. Another war that's all around. Gun control. Now, these are 6 years ago. Look at how much it has advanced. Racism allegations. If it ain't race, it doesn't lead. That's like in the news. Silencing or removal of conservative ideas. The legalization of recreational drugs. Requiring financial equality or socialism. I think all the people on the Democratic side right now are thinking that's the way to do that. But that is not the way to do it. The life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness guarantees the pursuit of happiness, not the provision of happiness. So there's a big difference there. Elimination of the Constitution. We don't need electoral college. They just want to get rid of everything. Elimination of the Constitution. No mention of God in the public square. Freedom from Religion Foundation comes to mind. And then laws declaring the Bible as hate speech, which already take place in England, which is insanity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so they will believe the lie. Once they go over, God goes, okay, you're over. Bye. Can they be recaptured? Sure, God can save anybody. He can do whatever he wants. But in the majority, when they go over and they reject the truth, God says, all right, we'll just believe the lie all the way down since you've rejected me. Whatever it's going to be going on, and these 10 things are actively going on, all 10, by the way, you can be sure it's going to be contrary or opposed to Jesus and Christian values regardless. Why? Because there's a war. Is there a war on Christmas? Only mildly. We've got about 30 seconds, I think. There is a much bigger war on Christ than there is on Christmas. And what's the reason why? Because they don't want Jesus to be real, because then they become accountable. And they have to answer for their actions and their words. I'm telling you, you need to hang on to the truth. Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hang on to the truth, because there's plenty of lies coming from the father of lies to the world. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.